This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we dig further in Genesis, the book of beginnings, with sign of innocence, birth of Isaac, cast out the slave woman, God heard, and treaty with Abimelech. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. For he is the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Presence in grace,
cross to save us.
A reading from the second chapter, from 2 Peter chapter 3. This is now the second letter that I am writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles, knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation." For they deliberately overlook this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water, and through water by the word of God, and that by means of these the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn? But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. O Lord, have mercy.
Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch.
This is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness.
In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
This is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Haters gonna hate, as they say. Or at least, I think they still say that. I might be out of touch. But regardless, this phrase, haters gonna hate, is a way of acknowledging that, yes, there are haters out there, while at the same time dismissing them. What we have in our text this morning, at the very beginning, is Peter saying something along the lines of, scoffers gonna scoff. He begins by reminding us, of course, of the predictions of the prophets and the apostles, and then saying, knowing this, first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. So these scoffers will come, but we need not be too worried about what they say. Yes, they want to deny the return of Christ. They say Christ has been gone some years now, and it does not look like he's coming back. And things have been going since the very beginning of the world. But we need not worry about what they say, because simply put, they're wrong. For they deliberately overlooked this fact, that the heavens existed long ago when the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God, and that by means of these the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. God has judged the world once already. It is simply incorrect that things have been going on as they always have since the beginning of time. The flood was quite a significant interruption in the normal course of events. In addition to this, Peter in the previous chapter gives as an example Sodom and Gomorrah, which the Lord judged and destroyed completely without giving much warning. And he also gives the example of the judgment of the angels. If God would judge even the angels who rebelled against him, surely he will judge the scoffers and the ungodly. By means of the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and the destruction of the ungodly. They want to deny that Christ will return. They want to deny that there will be a judgment, But Christ has promised he will return. And so we know that there will be a judgment. So then the question arises, then, why is God so slow? Why doesn't he come back and do it right now? And Peter, writing just a few years relatively after Jesus' ascension into heaven, writes, "For Christians of all ages, he says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you." Now, the verse right before that, "But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day." This verse has been misused throughout the ages, sometimes to support a day-age creationism sort of idea, which does not stand up to exegetical scrutiny, or to try to use this as a way of predicting the coming of our Lord. But really, the point of this verse is simply that God does not experience time as we experience time. So the focus is on the Lord's patience. The Lord is not slow, but he is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. This is why the Lord is patient. Now, of course, what Peter writes here is consistent with what God has spoken elsewhere throughout scriptures, namely in Ezekiel chapter 18, where he says, "For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord God, so turn and live." And again later in Ezekiel 33, which is perhaps more familiar to you, "Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel?" The Lord's pleasure is not in destruction, it is in repentance and salvation. Two verses after our reading, Peter goes on to say, "And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him." I can't say for sure, but perhaps Peter was aware of Paul's first epistle to Timothy, where he wrote to him, "God our Savior desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." And of course, this includes those scoffers. God's pleasure is in salvation, not in destruction. So God is patient, wanting all people to come to repentance and salvation. So it may be easy for us as God's people to look on those scoffers who we know will come, to look at them with derision, and to look forward with glee to their destruction, thinking those people are going to get what they deserve. Those scoffers, how dare they? I look forward to that day. But this is not what the Lord desires or takes pleasure in. Rather, the Lord is patient with them because he wants them to repent. So then, as God's people, we should imitate our Lord and be patient as well with the scoffers. And it is therefore incumbent upon us to proclaim God's word to them. For how will they come to repentance if they do not hear God's word of the law? And how will they receive salvation if they do not hear God's word of the gospel? So we must be patient and proclaim God's word to them. And now for a moment, I want to return to that verse that's a couple verses after our reading, "And count the patience of our Lord as salvation." Indeed, the patience of our Lord is salvation. For has not the Lord been patient with us? Has not the Lord been long-suffering with us? We who countless times stumble, who like sheep go astray day after day, and yet our patient Lord goes out and finds us and brings us back. Indeed, this is what Peter says. He says that the Lord is not slow, but he is patient toward you. the Lord is patient toward you. He is patient toward you on account of his Son, Jesus Christ. It is because Jesus came in the flesh, as we will celebrate on Christmas, and because he offered himself as the once-for-all sacrifice for our sins, redeeming us for the Lord, that the Lord is patient with us, that we might repent and that we might be saved. So then, as dear fathers are patient with their dear children, but even more so, for the Lord is perfect where we fathers are imperfect, the Lord is patient with us. He is long-suffering with us on account of his Son, Jesus Christ. So then, haters gonna hate, scoffers gonna scoff. But we need not experience consternation at their denial of the conflagration. Rather, we are patient with them and proclaim God's word to them as God has been patient with us and given his word to us. For while this world, the heavens and earth that now exist, are stored up for fire, you, my friends, are stored up for life. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds with Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.
Amen.
Thank you.
In our prayers, we give thanks along with Debbie Dijak in our distance deaconess program for the safe delivery of a grandson, James Warren. Also, we pray for Seth Horn's father, Edgar, who is hospitalized.
O Lord, hear my prayer. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and saved by your mighty deliverance. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, giver of all blessings, graciously receive our thanks for the life granted to James. Protect him by the waters of holy baptism from all the attacks of the evil one, and hold him steadfast in the faith to be made an heir of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty God, the strength of all who trust in you, lay your healing hand upon Edgar and give him all that is needful for health of body and soul. Grant him refreshment of spirit, comfort and pain, and if it be your will, a full restoration to health. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all.